Sukkot is one of those times where everyone has their own minhagim and so many different types, and yet we're all coming together and we're trying to balance between los haskodah, not having different minhagim, and people have different nanuim. People shake the nanuim different ways, forward, back, three times, right way, front, svard, Ashkenaz. People have different esrogim. You have Yemenite, you have big ones, you have green ones, you have yellow ones. And all types of minhagim throughout. And we're trying to avoid the isser of los haskodah, not having different factions. And there's a unique halacha when it comes to the mitzvah of lulav, this thing called eged. We're trying to create one aguda, agud achas, one togetherness. So I wanted to speak about the inyan of eged, the inyan of tying the lulav with the hadas and meravos. What exactly is the right thing to do halachically and all other things considered as well in order to avoid los haskodah? So there's a Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel Aleph which tells us that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim whether or not a lulav tzarech eged, whether or not you need to really tie together the lulav. So Rabbi Yehuda says lulav tzarech eged, you need to have an eged, you need to tie them together. But if you don't, it's not going to be kosher. Your entire mitzvah will be pasul. So what's this based on? So the Gemara says it's based on a gezeirah shava. It says lakachtem lachem b'yom harishon. You're supposed to take the lulav on day one, and it tells elsewhere lakachtem achgudas ezov. It says in the context of a Pesach Mitzrayim when they had to sprinkle or smear the blood on the doorposts in Mitzrayim as Hakadosh Baruch Hu passed over. It says lakachtem achgudas ezov utivaltem b'dam asher batzaf v'gatem el hamashko v'ashem mezuzos. They had to dip it in. They took achgudas ezov, an ezov that was Be'aguda, that was tied together. So we have a gezer shava lakachtem lakachtem. So just like by Pesach Mitzrayim, they required aguda, so too for the lulav you require in aguda. You have to tie the lulav together. And without that, it would be possible, it would not be a good mitzvah. That's the position of Rebbe Yehuda. The Chacham come along and Chacham argue and say, no, they don't hold us such a gezer shava. They don't have a mesara, and there is no need for an eged. So the Gemara says, well, isn't there a brisa that tells us there's a mitzvah to have a la'ogdo, a mitzvah to tie together a lulav? But the mitzvah, but if you miss it, it's still kasher b'di'evit. So l'chachilo, you should have an eged. And if you don't have one, so it's kasher b'di'evit. So who authored this brisa? So the Gemara says it can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says b'di'evit it's not kasher. You need an eged even in b'di'evit. So who's the one who holds only lichachila? Do you need one? Well, it can't be chachamim, because chachamim don't have a gezer shavu lakachtem lakachtem. They don't need an eged. There's no concept of an eged. The Gemara concludes that the chachamim hold that really lichachila there's a mitzvah to have an eged, and not because of the pasuk lakachtem lakachtem, but because of zekeli vanveyu. Zekeli vanveyu is the source of hider mitzvah. Because of hider mitzvah, a person is supposed to be ma'agid, supposed to tie together the lulav with the hadasim and the ravos, just because of zekeli vanveyu, an inyan of hider mitzvah. If a person doesn't have that, if you're missing hider mitzvah, it doesn't disqualify the mitzvah, just like anywhere else. Hider mitzvah only adds on. It enhances the mitzvah, but without that, it doesn't take away from the mitzvah. So this position, this is how we paskin, that there's a mitzvah lichatchila to have an eged as hider mitzvah, because it's zekeli vanveyu. But without that hider, one would still be kosher, one would still get the mitzvah of lulav. How does one actually tie the, how do you tie it? So there's a machlokis in the Shulchan Aruch Ramo. We'll get back to this in a second, but just the two positions are, Shulchan Aruch says you have to do kesher agabe kesher, you have to have a double knot, to makai in the mitzvah of eged. And the Ramo argues and says, no, it's enough to have just one kesher, and then you tie around, you wrap around the rest of it. So what's this based on, the idea of having to tie it? So the Gemara asks the following question. Are you allowed to make an eged on Yontif? Can you tie one on Yontif? The Gemara says, let's say a person's eged unravels, unties, are you allowed to make one on Yontif itself? So the Gemara says, well, the Rishonim first ask, well, isn't it going to be a violation of Tikkun Maner? Because if they're separate, so now they're just Dalaminim. Here's a Lulav, here's a Dasim, here's a Ravos. Here's an Esrog, they're four separate things. So by you tying them together, you're now making it into a Hefzah Shel Mitzvah. Isn't that going to be a problem of Tikkun Maner, of fixing something? It's something that we have similar to Tevilas Kalim. Why can't you be Tovel a Keli in the Mikvah? Let's say you bought a dish, or someone brought you a dish, and you have a Mikvah that's nearby. could you go to the mikvah on Shabbos and put the keli into the mikvah in Tovah? No, because the Gemara in Be'ah tells us that that's tikkun mana, that's fixing something. You can't do tikkun mana, you can't make something usable. So when tying a lulav together, isn't that going to be a violation of tikkun mana? So the Rishonim say it depends on the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda, who requires an eged, and without the eged, it's possible. So then, yes, tying it on Yontif would be considered tikkun mana, and you could not tie it. There would be no solution to tie the lulav on Yontif. But according to the Chachamim, which is whom we paskin like, so they say that you don't need it. It's just a mitzvah lechatchila. It's a mitzvah lechatchila to hit the mitzvah to tie it together. But without that, you still have the mitzvah. So that's not called tikkun mana. That's not called tikkun mana because a lulav separate from the hadasim and separate from the aravos is still considered a good mitzvah. So it's not a violation of tikkun mana. So we passing like chachamim, there is no violation of the tikkun mana. So there's another nafkamina. Can a goy, is a goy allowed to tie the lulav? Someone told me that someplace it's hard to find boys who are tying them, who could tie the lulav and esrog and put the eged together. So are you allowed to hire a goy to do this? So the Rama writes that a person is allowed to, seemingly it connects to the sugya, if you assume that there's a mitzvah in the eged, like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's a requirement. So just like a goy can't write tefillin, he can't write Sefer Torah, so too he shouldn't be able to make the eged. But if you assume that it's just a hidden mitzvah, so perhaps a goy would be allowed to put together the eged. So the Rama writes in Simen Tov Resh Mem Tes Aleph, a goy can make an eged. Because since we pass like the Chachamim, that there is no requirement to have an eged. It's just a hidden mitzvah, so for that reason you're allowed to have a goy do it. So asks the Magen Avraham, if you look carefully at the language of the Rama, it sounds like only b'di'eved, if a goy put it together, the mitzvah is good, you've still accomplished, you still fulfilled the inyan of an eged. But l'chatchila, it's better not to have the goy do this. So if that's the case, it's better not to, asks the Magen Avraham, but why? If there is no ma'isa mitzvah of making an eged, it's not essential, it's just hidden mitzvah, so then why can't you be yotze with a goy putting it together? Even l'chatchila, it's just hidden mitzvah, what's the big deal? So Magen Avraham concludes that even though it's hidder mitzvah, the hidder mitzvah is part and parcel of netilas lulav. It's part of the mitzvah. It's not simply external. It's not hidder mitzvah that's external to the mitzvah. It's part and parcel of the mitzvah. If you don't have it, you still owe to the mitzvah. But since it's still part of the ma'isa netilas lulav, it's part of taking the lulav, so then l'chatchila, it's better that the asiya, that the eged, be done by a Jew, not a non-Jew. So Hari Kedem discusses this in, it's a famous discussion in a lot of raid here, the two types of hidden mitzvahs. There's one hidden mitzvah which is very external to the mitzvah, which is usually about the beautification of the mitzvah. How nice your sukkah looks, how nice your esog looks. Those are more external. It's an inyan, it's a kim of zek keli v'anveyu, but it's not part and parcel of the mitzvah. It's separate from the mitzvah. It's just the beautification. But there is another type of hidden mitzvah which is part and parcel of the mitzvah, and actually is a key in the mitzvah, it enhances the actual mitzvah. That's the second type. So the Hari Kedem proves from this Magen Avraham that it must be that hidden mitzvah, legabe netilas lulav, is part and parcel of the mitzvah. It's a chelek of the ma'isa netilas lulav. So he brings a number of proofs how we know that hidden mitzvah of eged is part of the ma'isa netilas lulav. One of the rise is that the Gemara tells us in Sukkah daf memvav that a person ha'osa lulav li'atzmo, a person who makes a lulav for himself, which means he ties it together, he should say a bracha of shechianu v'kimanu v'hiyanu lazman hazeh. Now we don't paskin this way. We say a shechianu when you actually shake the lulav, but at least in this idea, and the halacha that's all correct, we just delay it. Lamaisa, we don't put this into practice. But the fact that theoretically you're allowed to say bracha b'shas asiyah tells us that the asiyah itself has a certain chashivas to it. It's not simply beautifying a sukkah and putting up decorations. It's actually the beginning process of netilas lulav, tying that eged, even for the chachamim. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda, who requires it even b'di'eved, it's pashut, that it's part and parcel. It's not hidden mitzvah, that's the ma'isa. But even the Chachamim who hold that the Eged is simply a Hidur Mitzvah, it's a type of Hidur Mitzvah that's part and a chelek of the Maisa Netila. And for this reason, a person, L'chachila, should do the Eged on his own, but the Eved, he's allowed to allow a Goy to do it for him if he can't find anyone else, can't afford anyone else, he's allowed to have a Goy do it. There is another Nafkamina that they discuss about, what about Tasev Lomina Asin? Meaning what? Let's say you have a tie, and then you just simply slip the lulav into that knot. You haven't made the maisa around it. It's tasa lumina masa. You're just putting it through the knot, and now happens to be, in the end of the day, the lulav is wrapped together properly. Is that considered a kiyum of this hidur mitzvah? So Rav Chaim was makbid that since he thought that the idea of the eged is part and parcel of the mitzvah, the tying, you should do the kesher, you should only tie it once they're together. Don't stick the lulav in it, because there is no asiyah there. Rather, put the lulav, hadas, and rabos together, and then take whatever you're using to wrap it around, and then tighten it, because he thinks that the hidden mitzvah of eged is really part of the maisa mitzvah. What about a woman? Is a woman allowed to tie the eged? So, for the shita hachamim. So the Mishnah Berurah says, based on this Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham who writes, L'chadchila, Goy shouldn't do it, since the Eged is really part of the Maisa Mitzvah, so too says the Mishnah Berurah, a woman shouldn't do it either, because a woman is not chayiv in Netilas Lulav. She's allowed to shake the Lulav if she wants. It's a mitzvah's asay, she has man grama, she's pater, she's allowed to perform the Mitzvah. We have Machlokas, Svar the Ashkenazim, whether she says a bracha, Ashkenazim, Paskin, she does say a bracha, but she's still not chayiv in the Mitzvah. Just like she can't tie tefillin, she can't write tefillin, since she's not chayiv in the kshira, she's not chayiv in the ksiva, so too she's not chayiv in the netila, she's not allowed to do the maisa mitzvah. Similarly, says the Shaar Tzion, he adds one more nafkamina, is a katan, is a minor allowed to do it. So sometimes you'll have boys under the age of 13 who are helping out in the selling of the aluminum, are they allowed to tie it together? So Mishnah Berurah says, since l'chachila we advise that a goy not do it, and rather the asiyah should be done by a bar chayuva, so then just like a goy shouldn't do it and a woman shouldn't do it, so to a katan, a minor, shouldn't do it. And this is very, very applicable. Someone in their own home has one of, if not from the Dalaminim, from the Dalaminim stories, but in your own house, you have a very handy boy. When your son's very handy, and he's under the age of 13, l'chachil, it's best to not have him do it, but to have either yourself or one of the boys over bar mitzvah put together the lulav. What about making it nighttime? We know the mitzvah lulav, the Gemara tells us, based on the pasuk, is bayom, only during the daytime, but not at nighttime. So is a person allowed to tie it at nighttime? There is no chiv at that point. So the Marsham says that one should not tie it at nighttime because there's no mitzvah at the time. You're supposed to tie it. The tying, the eged, is part of the mitzvah. Yes, it's a hidur mitzvah, but it's a hidur mitzvah that's part of the maisa mitzvah. So just like the maisa netila is only bayom, so to the hidur, the eged should only be performed during the daytime, not nighttime. Just like tittis as well. It's a mitzvah only by yom, and we say you're not supposed to tie the tittis at nighttime, you're only supposed to tie the mitzvah by yom during the daytime. Others argue, however, and say that you can tie it at nighttime, just like we tie the lulav Erev Yom Tif. Most of us tie it Erev Yom Tif. We'll see later there's a discussion whether that's the best thing. But Erev Yom Tif, most people tie it, and that's not the Zman of Sukkot. Sukkot hasn't started yet. So too, Lila shouldn't be any different, and one would be allowed to tie it even though it's nighttime. The Stipitz brought down Orchos Rabbeinu that normally he would tie it on Yontif itself. Yontif morning he would tie it. But let's say Yontif fell out on Shabbos, so there was no Netila on the first day Yontif. So then, Matzei Shabbos, at nighttime, he would already tie it to prepare it for the next day. So clearly he allowed tying it at nighttime. So one would be allowed to, it seems from any poskim, you can tie it at nighttime. What about making a kesher? What about tying it on Yontif itself? So I mentioned before that the Stipler's practice was to, and the Chazanish's practice was to tie it on the first day Yontif in the morning. So what's the discussion there? So the Gemara says, let's say your Eged unties on Shabbos itself, which by the way, he seems to indicate it should have been tied beforehand maybe, but let's say it unties on Shabbos. So what's the Eitzah? How are you supposed to tie it on Shabbos? You're not allowed to tie on Shabbos. There's an Isser of Kosher. You can't make a Kesher Shekayama on Shabbos or Yom Tif. So how does one tie it on Shabbos or Yom Tif? So the Gemara suggests we'll make a bow. First, the Gemara says you just wrap the string around and stuff in the end inside. Just make a few circles and stuff it in so it stays. It's not going to be the greatest. It's not going to stay so much, but it will stay to a certain point, in which case one would be zocha, would be yotze the mitzvah, just by wrapping it around. And the Gemara says, why not just tie a bow? A bow stays a little bit stronger. So the Gemara says, because this Bryce is learning according to Rabbi Yehuda, a different Rabbi Yehuda of Eged, Rabbi Yehuda who holds that tying a bow on Shabbos is an issa deraisa. So therefore, tying a bow is not allowed according to Rabbi Yehuda. But according to the way Chachamim paskin, according to the way we paskin, you are allowed to make a bow. So that would be a second etza. You can make a bow in Yantav. So again, if your eged unties on Shabbos or Yantav, rather Shabbos is mukza on Yantav. So you could either just wrap it around and stuff in the end, or you could tie a bow to keep it that way. Either one would be fine. And that's only if it unties on Yantav. But what's the ideal way? So Rashi learns from here, that's all b'dieved since it untied on Yantav. But ideally, before Yom Tov, says Rashi, one should make a kesher shekayama from before Yom Tov. That's what it sounded like from the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara says, normally you should make a kesher shekayama, but let's say Yom Tov is in Yom Tov, where you're not allowed to make a kesher shekayama. So what eitza is there? So the eitza, the Gemara suggests, is either wrapping it around or maybe making a bow. But if you're not in such a bidyavid situation, but you're in a lechatchila situation, you're erev Yom Tov, where you're allowed to make a kesher shekayama, so Rashi says you should ideally make a kesher shel kayama, make a real tie. So how do you create a kesher shekayama? What's considered a kesher shekayama? So Rashi and the Mordechai say a double knot. One knot and then tie a second one. That would be a kesher shekayama, and that's the ideal way to make an eged on lulav, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. They should make kesher agabe kesher. But the Mordechai quotes the Rav Yehu, who argues and says it's sufficient to tie one knot and then wrap it around and stuff the end. That would also be considered like two knots. And that's the practice, the Rama writes, of the Ashkenazim. It sounds like those lulav rings that they sell. It seems to be that there's one knot, and then they tie around and stuff it in the other end. That seems to be a key of what the Rav Yehu is talking about and the Ashkenazim. That's the practice. So Ashkenazim do one, and Svaradim have to have Kesher, Agabe, Kesher. So what about these Keshelach? What about these Keshelach, these baskets you put the lulav in, and then there's these two parts of the holders that the Hadassah and Maravos, is that allowed to be used? Is that going to qualify as a Kesher Shel Kayama? So the Chuvos Beis David, they quote in the poskim, he says it should not be used since it's not a Kesher. There's no knots there. You wove something together. Maybe it's a Riga. It's a woven, but it's not considered a Kesher Shel Kayama. You're just stuffing in the lulav, you're stuffing in the Hadassah and Maravos. And you can take the lulav in and out very easily, and therefore it's not an effective Kesher. Nothing's been tied down. So Tshuvos Beis David was very against using this Keshelach. The Mishnah Berurah argues, and he quotes from the Tshuvos Agura Ba'alecha, and he says it actually does work, since we hold like the Chachamim, and the Chachamim don't really require an Eged, they just require Zek Keli V'Yanveyu, just knowing. So this holder is a beautiful thing. The fact that it could go in and out, that we don't really care that much, because you don't need a Kesher Shel Kayama, you just need a Zek Keli V'Yanveyu. The Prima Gadim used it, but the Chassam Sofer was very against using it. Now that's because Chassam Sofer was very against any change in Minhagim. He was fighting against the Reform, and he was trying to stand strong for the Mesorah. He was very much against using this Eged. The other day, the person who sells Lulavim Esrogim in our shul, he was trying to think of some other ways, because he said it's so hard to find people to tie the Lulavim, so he's trying to find other ways to do the straps, and maybe to keep the rings. He thought maybe using Velcro. And I said, although it's Velcro and stuff can be used, you could really use any material for the Eged, according to the Chachamim, we paskim anything that's very nice. But still, because of this Chassam Sofer, he was against the Keshelach, which we allow for the Keshelach. But he was against it. We don't want to change too much from the Mesorah. So now the Bikur Yaakov says he was makbid to tie it very tight so that you cannot remove the minim from the knot. So the Bikur Yaakov would use this as well, but maybe there's an etza to use the ring and put the ring around it so it's very tight. This way you cannot take it out unless you undo the tie. That seems to be the best advice. Kav Chaim points out that the minim should be touching each other, though. You shouldn't have it in such a way where they don't touch each other. So at some point, whether it's above the holders or below the holders, they should be touching with Hadassah Maravos and Lulav are all somewhat touching each other. So some would have the practice of tying them together, meaning have the handles below, where they are separate compartments, but on top have another strap which connects them together, ring that connects the lulav to the hadasim or ravos without there being any chatzitza. So what type of material are you allowed to use? So we all use alei lulavim, the lulav leaves. But could you use other materials? So the Mishnah tells us in Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis that the following. That ein ogdin es alulav ela bimino divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you could only use the min, you can only use a lulav, lulav material. But Rabbi Meir argues and says you could even use string and you could use rubber bands, you could use whatever material that you want is all permitted. And we paskin like the Chachamim, and therefore Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Taf Reish Nun Aleph Sif Aleph that you could use any material that you want because we paskin this way. And the basis of this machlokes, the Gemara explained, is an issue of Baal Tosef. Since Rabbi Yehuda says he requires an eged, it's a necessity from the Torah, so if you use another material, that's going to be considered Baal Tosef, you're adding to it. But according to the Chachamim, who don't require it because of Lekachtem, they just said Lekachila, you should have it because of Hidr Mitzvah, so it doesn't become part of the mitzvah itself. It's not really Baal Tosef adding to it, it's just beautifying it. Yes, it's a beautification that becomes part of the mitzvah, but it's not really part of it. It's not a violation of Baal Tosef. And that's how we paskin any material is allowed. However, the Kapos Tamarim, among other poskim, says the practice, the minhag, is to use Ali Lulav, and that's what we all do. So what happens, asks the Prima Gaudim, what if a person did not prepare any Ali Lulav before Yom Tov? He didn't buy one of those keshalach, he didn't have one of those handles, those holders, he didn't have any rings. So now it's Yom Tov, and he wants to accomplish the Eged to fulfill Zekeli Vanvei. What's he supposed to do? So Prima Gaudim writes in Eish Avram that one can remove leaves from the lulav because there is no Isser on removing leaves from something Tolish. We know there's an Isser Deraisa of Kotzer. Kotzer is not one of the melachas that are permitted because of Heter Ochel Nefesh. So still, if the lulav is detached, so just like, let's say you have grape clusters, so you could pluck the grape off the stem, because it's all detached from the ground anyways, so too, that you're allowed to detach a lulav leaf from the lulav itself, because it's detached from the ground. That's what you're allowed to do. There is no iser, not even an iser midirabana. But the Shai Tshuva quotes a Prima Gaudim elsewhere in Hilcha Shabbos, where the Prima Gaudim is mistopic. He's not sure whether you're allowed to tear off that lulav or not tear off the lulav. And therefore, he says that the practice is that we're machmir not to tear off the lulav leaves. Remember, I learned in Moharsha Kolo a number of years ago with Rav Ulig, I believe there's a Shilti Giburim in the back of Shabbos that said when taking off grapes, you could take the grapes from the stem, but what you can't do is you can't separate the cluster into two pieces. I mean, you can't break off the branches from each other. You can't say, here, take this cluster, take another cluster. We break up the branch. Only removing the food, the grape from the branch is allowed, but to break the branches, even though it's detached, we're machmir not to do. So here as well, Shai Tshuva says where the practice is, the minhag is to be machmir, and not to rip off the lulav straps. So what happens? The lulav leaves. So what happens if you're stuck? What happens if you have no dry leaves to use? What are you supposed to do? So says the Shai Tshuva, perhaps ayde shinoi, since it's a machlokes, it's a suffix and a din derabanan. So if you apply a shinoi, so then you could take off the lulav leaves. What's a shinoi? He suggests using your teeth to break off the lulav, where the lulav leaves would be a sufficient shinoi, and then you could use it to make a kesher in a permissible way on yontif. Now what about, can you use a ali lulav of a lulav that you already used once for a mitzvah? Meaning, usually in the stores they have the dried out lulavim, which they use to make the rings. But are you allowed to use from your own lulav that you're using as part of the mitzvah? Is the problem of hukta mitzvaso? There's many types of mitzvahs, muktzas rather. One of the types of muktzas, one of the categories is hukta the mitzvaso. It's been designated for the use of a mitzvah. So once it's been designated for the use of a mitzvah, you are not allowed to use it for something else. You can't downgrade it to an eged. So now if this lulav has already been designated for the mitzvah, so now to take it off and use it for an eged, which is only a hiddur mitzvah, that's already mal makodesh v'lo maridin. We don't downgrade things. Is one allowed to do that? Rama writes in Simen Taf Reish Mem Tes, if a person makes a tanai to use an esrog for day one, so then day two you're allowed to eat it. It's no longer muksa. Even normally you cannot eat a muksa item that's mitzvah. If you make a tanai, that's only going to be muksa le mitzvasa for day one, so day two one would be allowed to eat it. So Mishnah Berurah says, let's say a person didn't make a Tanai, so then he can eat it on day two. As long as he leaves enough of the Esrog, that's the proper shear. Chaser is only possible on day one. Day two, you're allowed to use Chaser. So now, day two, you got hungry. So you're allowed to eat the Esrog, but as long as the Esrog is the right shear, I think it's a Kebeya, as long as enough of that left of the Esrog, then it's going to be permitted. You can leave some, so you can eat part of it. So Marsham says, so too, as long as you leave the sheer lulav, you can use the leaves, but you can only be used for the same lulav, not another one. Meaning what? So I've got a lulav, and now it's yontif, and I can't take off the leaves. Rather, I don't want to take it because it hooks on the mitzvasa. So you are allowed to, using your teeth, take off the leaves from that very lulav. But as long as there's enough height, you don't take away from it so much so that it takes away from the shear. I don't think there's a shear anyways in lulav. There's a shear in the height. I don't remember that there's a shear in the width. It has to be as long as you could shake it. As long as you could shake it. So as long as you have the ability to shake it, you leave a few leaves on, that would be fine. He says you are allowed to use it, but you could only use it for that very mitzvah, for that same lulav. You can't use it for a different lulav, as long as the shear is still there. Rabbi Yashiv argues and says you're not allowed to use them. Once a person makes a bracha on the lulav, so then you're not allowed to downgrade it to the use of the egged. He points out, though, but before you make that first bracha, even though you bought it, the shame lulav, but before you made that first bracha, it's not considered huktzah mitzvasa just yet. So you are allowed to then take the lulav leaves from that very lulav, but once you've made the bracha, so then you're no longer allowed to take the ale lulav from that very lulav. How many separate tithes are you supposed to have? How many do you need? So the Ramah says that one should make 3 ksharim. You should have a total of 3 ksharim. So Taz says there's no basis for this. The Gemara talks about an eged, one eged, where do you get 3 ksharim from? So, but he says even though there's no source for this, still the practice is to have it, to have 3 ksharim. So he says that the bam should connect together the 3 minim. And if there's room, put 2 more on top of that. But make sure that the top kesher, there's at least enough to allow the top of the lulav to shake. If it's too high up and you can't shake it, you're not going to be mekayim kedei l'nanebo. So those 2 ties should be low enough, so there's enough room for the top of the lulav to shake around. Now, there's a machlokas, whether or not these 3 ties are in addition to the bam tie, or they're 2 in total. Meaning what? Everyone agrees you need 1 egged around it. When the Ramah says 3, it doesn't mean 3 more, so you have a total of 4, or does it mean only an additional 2, whereby there's a total of 3? That's a machlokas Mishnah Berurah brings down 2 opinions. It sounds like from the El Yerabah that you should have 3 ksharim aside from the main egged connecting the lulav, hadasim, and eravos. What's the idea of 3? Even though there's no basis in the Gemara, the Mordechai says that the 3 is connected the avos, and the gematria of lulav plus 3 equals 71, the minion of the Sanhedrin. That was his idea, says the Mordechai. So I wanted to finish off now with some Divrei Agada about the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and his practice in understanding the Egin. So it's brought down in Halicha Shlomo, this is Perek Yud Aleph, in the footnotes 55, that Rav Shlomo Zalman would be matriach very much in preparing the beautifying of the lulav and the minim, and it was so pretty and beautiful and so straight and colorful, and he would make sure that all the hadasim, the height of the hadasim, were all the same, and the height of aravos were all the same, not some up, some down, and that he would make sure that the tie was behind the lulav so you wouldn't see it, so it would be very smooth from the front, just like you put, the stitches are always hidden, so too the tie should be hidden as well, just see the circle in the front, the strap in the front. And he was very careful as well to midaktek, to do the egged on his own. He wanted to be mekayim this inyan of hider, zekeli vanveyu. Because this also is part of the mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucha. And he would say during the kshir, during the tying, he would say, l'shei mitzvah zekeli vanveyu. This was the practice of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And he would often say, explain the idea of what does it mean, zekeli vanveyu, hisnolafana b'mitzvahs. Why is it learned out from Zekeli Vanveyu? Why is that the basis that's in the context of Kriyas Yamsuf? Why of all places do we learn the concept of Zekeli Vanveyu in the context of Kriyas Yamsuf? So it says the Rav Shlomo Zalman beautifully. Because the Svarim explain that Hanhaga Nisus, a miracle happens, it comes about, it's inspired with the bezachus of a person with tremendous gevura. When a person is mekayim the mitzvah, lamal me'ateva, he goes above and beyond the performance of the mitzvahs. So therefore, a person zocha to nisim. So that's why Avraham Avinu was zocha to nisim his whole life, because he was moser nefesh in everything that he performed. And so to Kriyas Yamsuf and Yitzis Mitzrayim, these were nisim that Klai Yisrael experienced, because they went lamal me'ateva. What did they do that was moser nefesh? Because they dam Pesach and dam Mila, they were both nega teva. Karim Pesach, they were moser nefesh. It was a tremendous sakana to take the sheep, the gods of Mitzrayim, and to shecht it, but they were moser nefesh. And the bris Mila, to hit them, to hurt themselves, to put themselves through this dangerous surgery at their age, these are two dangerous things, two dangerous mitzvahs, and they were moser nefesh. So because of the moser nefesh that they had displayed, they were zocha to the nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf and Yitzis Mitzrayim. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, there's another way to inspire Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring for us nisim. That's l'mal ma'atevo. And that's when a person, that's not moser nefesh, but a person, ayidei tosefes hider, bekima mitzvah yotzim yachiv. There's one idea of doing a mitzvah according to the letter of the law. But then there's the addition. There's the addition of performing a mitzvah, behidr mitzvah, the idea of performing the mitzvah above and beyond. Not that you're moser nefesh, but you're showing your tremendous love and chavivus for the mitzvahs. And therefore, Klai Yisrael understood that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the nisim to them, so they said, Zeh keli v'anveu, they understood this correlation, that when a person goes above and beyond, whether it's a mesiras nefesh, or zeh keli v'anveu, or just above and beyond the letter of the law for the performance of the mitzvahs, they understood this. So once a Kadosh Baruch Hu performed this tremendous nes of Kriyas Yom Tov, they started to sing Zeh keli v'anveu. They took upon themselves from that point on to mekayim the mitzvah of any mitzvah for that matter, of Zeh keli v'anveu with hider mitzvah. And that's what inspires mitzvahs. That's what inspires nisim. That's what inspires ava. So this time of year, we're all baguda achas. We're all coming together. We all do different things. We're coming together as a unit, as Am Yisrael. All these different types of dalaminim, different types of ksharim and agudos. We're coming together to perform these mitzvahs with tremendous hidden mitzvah to show the love we have for Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Yemit Hashem, in turn, Kadosh Baruch Hu will pay us back with tremendous nisim and bring about the gula shem of Amitas Meher of Yameinu. Amen. Have a wonderful Yom Tov.